get to scream. All right. We are in the middle of our series, and we're and it's all about the worst bad day ever in history. Some of you think you were it, but no, the worst bad day ever in history, and we're looking at Jesus when he was crucified. And let me tell you, it doesn't get much worse than Jesus when he was crucified, right? Golly, jeez, gosh, you can get coffee. All right. Now, we've been talking about when Jesus was crucified and he's hanging on the cross, he's got some dialogue going on. He's got these statements that he's saying, and he's talking and he's saying these things, and I believe he said these things for us. I believe these statements that he said are to be a light to our path that will help us get through our worst bad day ever. And I don't know about you, sometimes those bad days are not one day. Anybody have some bad days that lasted a week, a month, a year? I went through a season of 18 months. So I appreciate all the help I can get. And I believe that Jesus, when he hung on the cross and he made these statements, he was giving them to us because he made it through and he will help us get through our worst bad day ever. So today's title, ready? Worst bad day ever. This is lesson 5. But today's title is Seek Help on your bad day. Seek help. Go get help. We're going to find out how to go get help on your bad days, all right? Because there's nothing worse than feeling helpless. Anybody like that, helpless? No, 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 no. So we're going to find out how to get help on our bad days. You can open up to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 28. This is Jesus's fifth statement. This is his fifth statement when he's hanging on the cross, and we're going to look at this today. John 19, verse 28. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, which is kind of like my fun one the last 5 years. You know, I kind of go through Bibles. I did Amplified for 10 years, and the last 5 years I'm reading the New Living. So just get a Bible, read it. Okay, that's all I can tell you. So you're all at John 19, 28. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill the scriptures, I'm going to say that part again. And to fulfill the scriptures, he said, I am thirsty. Now, this is powerful. But you're all looking at me like, what? I am thirsty? No, no, no. This is powerful. Now, do you know that there were over 28 scriptures just in the Old Testament about Jesus dying on the cross? These were prophecies about Jesus dying on the cross. And some of them were made just a couple of hundred years before Jesus died on the cross. Some of them were made 1,000 years about Jesus. They're actually statements that describe that Jesus was going to go die on the cross. And today, we're going to talk about this one. Because he said, listen to this again, he knew that his mission was done, and to fulfill the scriptures, he said, I'm thirsty. Okay, so we're going to look at this. I started to think, we could spend a whole lesson, a whole Sunday, just talking about every one of those scriptures or prophecies, you would say, about Jesus was going to come and he was going to die on a cross. We could go through all those, but we're not. We're just going to go through this one. All righty? So he said, I am thirsty. Now, I had to think, why? Everybody love it when your little kid goes, why? Why hundreds of years before would Jesus make a statement? I mean, would God have Jesus make the statement, I'm thirsty? I'm going, God, why? Why would you make sure that Jesus said, I'm thirsty? Well, again, I believe Jesus said that to bring a light to us, so we can walk through our worst bad days ever. All right, I believe that. And you know what? I thought when I looked at that, I thought, you know what? Jesus is being absolutely honest. Absolutely honest, because he had the worst bad day ever. He didn't do it. People caused it, okay? And he was going to be really transparent and say, you know, this worst bad day ever caused me to be thirsty. Have you ever had a bad day where it caused you to fill in your blanks? I've had a bad day, and it's caused me not to be thirsty, but to have some things and attitudes and thoughts and eventually some words out of my mouth. Okay. So I really believe that Jesus was being honest and transparent and saying, you know what? This has caused me to be thirsty. So we are going to look at four go-tos on what you do in your bad day. So you ready? Four go-tos. Before I get into the four go-tos, this is my big idea, my main idea that I just want you to remember when you walk out of here. And if you're taking notes, ready? You have to have go-tos to get through. You have to have a go-to plan. Actually, four of them. So you can get through your bad days. Okay, you have to have go-tos to get to your bad days. And listen, all of you have go-tos that you go to on your bad days. Okay, I have my one dear friend. When she has a bad day, you know what her go-to is? She's a cleaning machine. She starts cleaning, and her husband said, oh, I can always tell when she's had a bad day. She's vacuuming, and she's like this. Anybody have one of those? Not me. That's not one of my go-tos, all right? My Jack, his go-to on bad days is, he come in the door and he goes, going to the shooting range. I'm going to shoot up some things. That was one of his go-tos, all right? How about anybody of you, your go-tos is shopping? Ice cream, don't raise your hand. Chocolate. And I'm sure there's a multitude of other ones. So listen, you have go-tos. You have go-tos on your bad days, all right? A friend of mine last year tore his meniscus in his, right knee, left knee. And it wasn't getting better. He finally went to the doctor, and the doctor says, hey, listen, you're probably going to need surgery, but if you just want to wait, and he was a pastor, and he says, if you want to wait and pray about this, you know, go see what happens. So my good friend, he said he just waited on it, and he was praying on it, and he says, you know, eventually it got better. It got better, except, he told me this thing, except for the day I decided to clean my garage. And he says, I'm in there all day cleaning my garage. I'm like, oh, gosh, come to my house. Okay. So he's in there and he says, by the end of the day, this knee is throbbing. This knee is throbbing. So he found out that Tylenol doesn't work. You know why? Tylenol doesn't work. It's for headaches. He says, but ibuprofen, that Advil. Okay, that's an anti-inflammatory. And he said, so what I did is my go-to is I popped one of those pills and it worked wonderful. Okay, so he's so spiritual. Come on, he's just like all of us, right? So that was his go-to. That was his go-to on his bad day when his knee was acting up. But listen, guys, we have to have some go-to, spiritual go-tos, okay? By the way, I do take medicine, I do take Advil, and I do take Tylenol. But you know what? I have to have some spiritual go-tos, okay? I have to go to spiritual go-tos, and if you don't have spiritual go-tos, you're not going to get through your bad day. And it'll be there for days, months, years. It'll just be there. So you have to have some go-tos. Say, I need a go-to. I'm going to give you four of them, okay? Number one, you are going to have to look at yourself. You're going to have to be transparent, okay? And you're going to have to examine yourself, because the number one go-to is we must go to the mirror. We must go to the mirror on our bad days. What are you talking about, Pastor D? Well, why do you go to the mirror anyway? I was like, I have lettuce stuck in my teeth. Is my hair sticking out? Okay. Actually, every day that I put makeup on, which is just about every day except for Saturday, and if I go out in the car, I go to the mirror, because when I get into the mirror outside, all of a sudden I'm going, holy Toledo, there is like way too much makeup, and I brush half of it off. So we go to a mirror so we can assess where we are, just in the natural, all right? You know, I thought about going to the mirror. My dad grew up in Brooklyn. He went to parochial schools, and then he worked in Manhattan. And I remember him every day when he went to work, he wore a suit and a white shirt and a tie. Eventually, when I was a teenager, we got him into blue shirts. I mean, that took years, okay? But he'd get a tie. So he'd get dressed in the morning, and he'd grab his tie, and he'd be walking around the house tying his tie. No mirror, just walking around the house, tying his tie, dodging six kids, telling us what to do. God bless him. But at the end, after he tied it, he'd always go to a mirror. And there was one in the powder room off the kitchen or upstairs. Usually he did the powder room off the kitchen. At the end, after he tied it, he'd go like this. And he'd just make sure it was straight. He'd look in the mirror to make sure it was straight. He'd make sure his collar was down. Okay? He could do all of that, tie and ties, because he did it for decades. Okay? Decades, except for at the very end, he still went to the mirror. All right? So, why do I look in the mirror? Why do you look in the mirror? Because I want to make sure things are straight in the natural. All righty? But listen, you have to have some spiritual, and you have to go to the mirror to see where you are spiritually, emotionally. Because, you know, sometimes I'm not in the mirror. Y'all can look at me and say, man, she's just off her rocker today. But you know what? When I have a go-to, when I go to the mirror, which I will tell you in a second. But if you don't have a go-to, if you're not looking in the mirror, you're not going to know you got some problems going on. Everybody else in the room knows you got some problems on. All right? Especially this one. Oh, we used to do this with my dad. Watch out. Don't go in the dining room. Dad's in a bad mood. Everybody knew Dad was in a bad mood. So we would stay away. Dad needed to know he was going in a bad mood. Dad needed to know he needed to look in the mirror, okay, in life and stuff like that. And some of you are like, whoa. So I want to give you a scripture. It changed my life. It's a scripture you all know. It's a scripture I taught on for years. It's a scripture I used in funerals for years. But one day I had one of these oh wow moments. Oh wows. And it was, sorry for this expression, but this is my expression. It blew my mind away. Okay? When I finally saw it, it's about going to the mirror. And I'm going to give it to you. And when I read it to you, you're going to go, didn't blow my mind away, Pastor D. But wait a minute. Okay, I'm going to explain this and you're going to go, oh wow, or it blew my mind away. All right, write this down, John 11, and they're not even going to pop it up because you already know this scripture. John 11:35, it's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus, yeah, okay, anybody's mind get blown away? No, just hang in there, I'm telling you. So you need to know the background. When Jesus said this, then Jesus wept, right? When Jesus said that, what had happened? What had happened? His best friend had died, Lazarus, right? His best friend had died, okay? And then all these people came to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, Lazarus has died. And then what? Jesus wept. Okay, what's that mean? He cried. He grieved. And I've read that. I've heard that. So it's always a fun scripture to our kids and children's ministry. Do you know a Bible verse? Besides John 3:16, they all knew that one. But one day I saw that. I'm like, OMG. Oh my gosh. I see what's going on. Now, I know you all know this and I know you all believe this, but according to the Bible, because you all believe the Bible, say yes, Pastor, I believe the Bible, Jesus is God. Raise your hand, yes. Right? Okay. How about this? He's always existed. Yes. Okay, the Bible says that he was with God. He is God. He's the Son of God, right? Y'all believe that? I believe that, all right? And it says he created everything. It also says that he came from heaven. We sang it. He came from heaven. He came to earth. He came to earth in an earth suit. He came to earth in an earth suit. And he died on the cross and he rose again. Y'all believe that? Jesus knew that. He knew all of that. He was all God, he was all man, and he knew everything I just said. Listen, he knew that, and he also knew where his friend went. And yet, Jesus wept. All right, so wait a minute. Jesus knew all of that. So, by the way, do you know where Lazarus went? Okay, Lazarus went to a place called the bosom of Abraham, okay? And I used to teach this to kids because they'd crack up because you'd say the word bosom. And they'd be going, wah! Okay, so that was always cute. So, but it was actually what I'd call a holding tank, because mankind then was still sin stained. They couldn't go into heaven. Jesus had not died on the cross or rose from the dead. So there's this place, and so Jesus knew that. Jesus knew where Lazarus was. Jesus knew that his relationship with Lazarus isn't over. Kaput, I'll never see when. He knew where Lazarus was. He knew that his relationship was going to go on because Jesus knew that he was going to die on the cross and rise again, right? Okay, and yet, what did he do? Jesus wept. Okay, so you know what this tells me? If Jesus, who is all God and yet took on humanity, he took on a human form, could be so moved by his emotions, actually a bad day. It's a bad day when someone you love passes away. If he can be so moved in his emotions that he could weep, and it's okay to weep. How about you guys? Yeah, it's okay. It's okay to have those emotions, but I'm going to talk about what we do with them, all right? So, if he can deal with his emotions and he can have a grieving and a crying, we can deal, and we need to deal with our emotions the right way, all righty? So, how many of you have had bad days? Everybody's had a bad day, okay? I've had some bad days that I really just didn't want to be around anybody. Anybody have those? Usually I say it's probably better you're not around me, but I just, but for the most part, I didn't want to be near anybody. I actually wanted to hide. Anybody ever want to hide out on your bad days? Okay, that's called depression. That's not a good thing. So, but here's what God is saying. You can still be spiritual, okay, if you just admit, I've got some stuff, some issues from this bad day. You are still spiritual. Now, the problem is a lot of people, not anybody here, somebody else's church here, they think, well, wait a minute. I'm spiritual, so I'm not going to admit I have an issue. I'm not going to admit I have a problem. I'm not going to admit that I am not doing good. I'm not admitting that. Okay, by the way, that's dumb, and that's not spiritual, okay? Jesus admitted he had these emotions, and he cried, all right? So we want to be spiritual, and we have to admit. So go to, let's see. All right. So here's my second one. So the first one is we go to the mirror. Jesus went to the mirror. He examined himself, and then he dealt with it. Second thing we have to do is we have to go to God. Duh, Pastor D, of course we're going to go to God. Yeah, sometimes that's the last place I go, all right? But so we go to God to get through our bad days. We go to God to get through our bad days, all righty? We go to God to get through our bad days. So first we go to the mirror and we go, hey, what happened here? Okay, man, everything just blew up. This happened. And sometimes in my bad days, I'm angry. Some days I am mad at God and I feel like quitting. Some days I feel like God quit on me, so I'm going to quit on him. Anybody have one of those days? Don't raise your hand. Okay, whatever you've gone through, you might feel like, I am so mad at this company because they let me go. I got some emotions going on here, all right? Or better yet, I'm mad at my family because they let this thing happen to me. I hear that a lot, all right? So whatever you're dealing with, we have to go to God. So what does it mean to go to God? Well, pray. What does it mean to go to God? By the way, you can call me anytime. I'm a good person to go to. But you know who you should go to first? Go to God. Go to God and pray. So when I go to God and pray, I've had a bad day. I'm feeling like this. I'm upset with this. I'm confused maybe, or I'm just emotionally at zero. I will go to God and say, hey, listen, God, this is how I feel. And I am transparent. Sometimes I'm pathetic, all right? But I'll go, God, this is how I feel. I'm going to go pray. And by the way, God, I need your help. Could you take over? Can you help me? So that's how you go to God. That's how you go to God. Now, there's two things that happen if you go to God. I should say when, because we're all smart. But there's two things God promises to do when you go to him. All right? Now, I've been dumb for a long years where I'm like, I got this, I'll do it by myself. And then, you know, years go by and I'm still just worn out. So here's number one. Number one, God promises to carry your burdens when you go to him. He's such a gentleman. He doesn't rip them out of your hands because I am known to hang on to things. So, but the thing is, God promises when you go to him, ready? You go to him in prayer, right? You go to him. He promises to carry your burdens. He promises to carry your burdens. And if you turn over to 1 Peter, 1 Peter 5:7. God promises to carry your burdens or take. I like that better. He promises to take your burdens. Okay, take my fear, please. Take my anger, please. Take my shame. Take my rejection. God promises to take these, all right? 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. Give. Who does the giving? That's right, we do. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. For he cares for you. So what does God want to do? He wants to lift them off of you. He wants to carry them for you. But you have to know that he does that. You know, like, I don't know if God's able to do that. I don't know if God can take that. Yeah, he is. He's God. He's almighty. He created the heavens and the earth. He raised Jesus from the dead. Do you think he can carry and take and carry and lift things off of you? He sure can. All right. But you need to know that he wants to do it. He's able to do it. And he wants to be involved in your life. So, number one, God promises to take your burdens if you just go to him. I love this psalm, Psalm 34:4. I love this one. Psalm 34:4. I prayed to the Lord, right? I prayed to the Lord. He answered me and he freed me from all my fears. I don't know about you, but typically the first thing that I run into when I'm going through a bad day is fears. My apprehensions, my fears. And he's going, I take care of these. I will free you from that. All right. The second part, verse 5, says, those who look to him for help, he will be radiant with joy, and no shadow of shame will darken their faces. Those who look to him for help, you know, pray, ask God for help, you will be radiant with joy and no shame. How many of you agree shame's a horrible thing? You talk about a weight and just harmful to carry, shame. And he's going, hey, listen. This is what I want you to do, Dee. I want you to give me this and say, God, I give you this. You can take this. I trust you and you're going to protect me. That's how you do it. Just real easy. And that last part, radiant with joy. Most of the time, this is not too radiant because I didn't give it to let God lift it. Okay, so joy is the same as happiness, except for it's not dependent on your circumstances. I'm happy because I had a steak in Chicago. I'm happy because my flight was on time and my luggage. You know, happy was based on circumstances, but joy is not based on circumstances. Joy is based on, I know my God, and I am trusting that he will carry me through. Therefore, I can be joyful in my bad days. I'm still taking that test some days. Anybody still taking that test about being joyful during your bad days? Yeah, okay. Just smack me and go, Pastor D, you know, come on. Be radiant with joy. But you know what? When I start and I end with knowing Father God, who's created me and rescued me and placed me in the heavenlies and called me by name, when I know that, and that he's never going to abandon me when I'm in these hard times and sometimes weeks, then I'm like, okay, I will be joyful because I know my God. Amen? All right. So the second promise that God promises that he will do if you give it to him, if you come to him, if you go to God, ready? He promises to rescue you. He promises to rescue you. Praise God. He promises to rescue you out of your bad days. Turn over to 2 Corinthians, would you? 2 Corinthians 1:8. 2 Corinthians 1:8. Last week in lesson 4, we talked about Jesus on the cross, and he's in this worst bad day ever, and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Everybody remember that? Such a good lesson. Thank you, Pastor D. Okay. So this is Jesus saying this. How many of you have felt like, God, did you hear me? God, are you doing something? Okay, so it's sort of that same thing, all righty? But this is what you have to know, is God promises to rescue you through your bad days, through those hard times when nothing looks like it's changing, you have to know that God promises to rescue. So 2 Corinthians 1:8. This is Paul. And let me tell you, Paul's right up there with Jesus having a whole bunch of worst bad days ever. Worst bad days ever. Like, it was like, I felt like it followed him, all right? So he says here, I think you ought to know, dear brothers. He's talking to believers. He's talking to us. I think you ought to know. I always put my seatbelt on when someone says that. Uh-oh, there's something they want to tell me, all right? I think you ought to know, dear brothers, about the hard time we went through in Asia. We were really crushed and overwhelmed. Sound like a bad day? We were crushed and overwhelmed. Sound like a bad day? Yeah, it was. And feared we would never live through it. Okay. This is Paul going to the mirror and admitting, not being super spiritual, you know what? I have been in this bad day and I got into fear. He's just being really transparent. You mean Paul, the apostle Paul, you know, the Mr. Spiritual? Yeah, he's being really transparent, okay? Now, the next verse, verse 9. We felt we were doomed to die and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. But that was good. I read that 3 times. I'm like, what? Did you put that in there? He goes, that was good, all right? That was good. For then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us, for he can even raise the dead. All right. Bible historians tell us that when Paul was writing this, he's talking about he had already been stoned to death. All right. Paul had already been stoned to death. And I talked about this probably in week 2. When they'd stone you, they take these big monster stones. Well, first, by the way, they tie you up so you can squirm away. All right. They tie you up and they just throw these big stones and they would crush you, crush your bones, crush your skull. They just keep throwing them on you until you were dead. All right. So this is Paul's writing this after this happened. Okay, so they did this to Paul. They threw these big things and just crushed his body till he was dead. And then, you know, the people that threw the stones left because, like, goody, we've killed this guy. And the Christians come and they surround him and they pray for him. They pray life into him. And ta-da, he jumps up and he's alive. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? I love that. Yeah, maybe sight and sound will do that one. I love that. Okay. But think about it. If you were Paul, I think I could be a little bitter with God. Like, hey, God, you know, you could have rescued me before this happened and I rose from the dead. You could have done that before I had my bones crushed. You know, anybody would have thought that? Like, come on, God. You know, I'm so glad you raised me up, but I still had to go through that horrible thing. But you raised me up and you healed me. That's really nice. But God, you could have just skipped all of that and, you know, I wouldn't have to go through that. Okay, now, Paul doesn't complain. That's my motto. I'm not complaining. Or usually I say, oops, that was a complaint. Oops, that was a complaint. I'm sorry. Okay, so Paul doesn't complain. Listen to verse 10. And he did help us and save us from a terrible death. Yes. And we expect him to do it again and again and again. All right. So here's what he's saying. Number one, Paul didn't give up on God because he went through a bad day. Right? He didn't give up on God. He was stoned and he got raised from the dead. He didn't give up. That's it, man. You are late, God. I'm done with you. He didn't do that. And he didn't say, hey, become a child of God and you'll never have bad days. He didn't say that. Right? He said, you and I need to see God rescue. We need to see God big. We need to see God in our bad days that he's a big God. He's a miracle working God. And do you think Paul had a little miracle go on there? He did. All right. So he did. And I like the part is, so Paul, listen, he was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was beaten. And he goes on to say, and I expect God to be a big God again. And I expect God to be another big God again. I expect God to keep rescuing me. I expect God. So, you have to go to God and expect that he carries our burdens and that he'll rescue you. So first we go to the mirror and say, hey, listen, I have had a bad day and I'm being really transparent. This is how I feel about this. And then I'm going to go to God. I'm going to pray and I'm going to expect him. So that's our second go-to. Here's our third go-to. Our third go-to, and this one has taken me years. I'll tell you a little bit about me. Our third one, we must go to people on our bad days. We must go to people. Listen, God is great. You always start with God, all right? But God put, he calls us the body of Christ. He says we're knitted together in love. And this go-to people part, I'll just be really honest with you. Sherry says that, and I go, well, I hope you're not lying to me. So I'll just not lie to you and tell you the truth. Because of bad days that people have caused in my life, I have built walls and distance with people. So this one has taken me time. I have to work at this. I have to go, wait a minute. People are here and we need to go to people. Sure, none of you have ever done that before. Y'all looking at me like, she's pathetic and she's the pastor. Okay. But over the last decade, I realized I need people in my life. I am a better person with people in my life. I am not so stupid with people in my life. I'm a happier person with people in my life, okay? This happened about last year, I think. Last year, there's just a lot of stuff hitting the fan, personally, physically, and even church-wise. And now, I tell you, I just kind of built walls and distance and stuff like that, and I'm working at taking them down and letting people in my life. So I went through like a month of this, and I realized emotionally I am not doing good. Anybody emotionally not doing good? Maybe not today, but been there. So listen what I finally did. I text. I have two pastor friends, one up in Erie and one in, where is that, Hummelstown. I text, hey, this happened and this happened. And this happened, and I feel like my emotions are down the toilet. Not good. I probably didn't write that. Would you pray for me? So what I did, I went to people. I go to people. And within an hour, my friend, and it's her day off, called me and said, hey, I started praying for you immediately, and I want to talk to you. I was like, start talking. And she brought to light things that I couldn't see in the middle of my bad day. Do you know you can't always see too well on your bad day? All right? And she could see. And she ministered what we'd say. She ministered life to me. And just like, and she told me something. I couldn't see. And I just walked, just had a great old time. And she said, listen, if you want me, I'll come on down. But we were on the phone for an hour and she prayed for me. It was great. But had I not, listen, I went to the mirror. I knew my emotions were not good. I went to God. I'd already prayed to God. But you know what? It was time to go to people. Amen. Because life is meant to do with people. Yeah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. All right. Open up to James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. All right. Most of you probably know this. Okay. Now, I will say, you are smarter than a fifth grader. When you go to people that you trust, and you don't go to everybody. Like, and they give you advice, too much counsel goes goofy. Go to people that you know, you trust, you know their walk with the Lord, you know they're going to, you know, sometimes encouragement's good, but I needed a correction. And my good friend gave me a correction and an encouragement and just so great, all right? So y'all know, you have to have friends, you have to have people that you go to, all right? People that you go to on your bad day. And if you do not have people that you go to, it's like a fluorescent light should be shining off of you. It's like, wake up. You need people. You need people. Okay. A couple years ago, I decided my little world was a little too little. And I said, God, I need some friends in my life. And all right, I'll knock down the walls. I'll believe the best in people. Okay. Anybody? Okay. And the Lord says, well, you're going to have to work at having friends. Because I can be selfish. I could go home and I could be a hermit. I could be a hermit. I'd cook and clean, read my Bible, and then watch Netflix, okay? So I said, okay, God. And you know what? I started working at it. And you need people in your life. or you get squirrely. Okay, we're at James. All right, let's go read James. James 5:16. This is out of the Living Bible. James 5:16. Admit your faults to one another. That means you got people. Everybody say, I got people. All right? Admit your faults to people, one another, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results. All right? When my friend prayed for me, I'm telling you what, there was power in that prayer. It lifted me up. It just brought me to a better place. Okay. Now, did you notice it said, admit your faults? Okay. Now, I used to think faults was, oh, I did something bad. I did something wrong. I need to go to you and say, hey, I did this wrong. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Okay. Now, that is true. That's part of it. But I started digging into the Greek. And when you look in the Greek, you know what it says? It's referring to any problem you have in life. So it doesn't mean I have to be a mess up, a screw up, and a goof up, all right? I just got a problem. I have a bad day I'm going through, all right? And you just go to one another and pray. Go to one another and pray. So where do we go first? The mirror. Where do we go second? To God. Where do we go third? To people. And guys, we need people to join us in prayer. We need people to lift us up in prayer. You need people. Listen, God uses people. All right, now be selective, you know, be selective. But just imagine God wants to use you to help somebody. God wants to use you to help somebody. So one, we go to the mirror. Two, we go to God. Three, we go to people. And here's your last one. We go to war on our bad days. We go to war on our bad days. All right, we go to war on our bad days. Now, it's good to acknowledge, hey, God, I've got some issues because of this bad day. It's good to go to God and say, God, I need your help. It's good to go to people. But I'm telling you, you got to go to war. You can't be a wimpy in the brain and hide out in the corner, or you're not going to get through your bad days. You can't be a wimp and hide out on your bad days. I'll give you one day to do that, maybe two. Okay, you get 2 days to do that, but then you've got to have a war attitude. You've got to have a fight on the brain, all right? So we go to war on our bad days to get through our bad days, all righty? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. It's called the armor of God, and there's a whole bunch of things you do in Ephesians chapter 6, all right? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, I'm going to read. So, go to war. I'm telling you, it's a fight mentality. It's an attitude. Everybody say, I have an attitude. This is the attitude. I'm going to war. That's an attitude. It's a good, this is the one time you can have, this is a good attitude. Ready? Verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, hold up. Not every bad thing that happens in your life is caused by the devil. He is an enemy, but not every bad thing that happens is from the devil. But I will guarantee you this: he'll use every bad thing that's bad in your bad day. He'll use it. He'll cause you to put dumb thoughts, like, you know, I'm doubting God. He'll cause you to be angry. He'll cause you to quit. All right. He may not have caused it, but he'll use your bad days for his benefit, alrighty? So it says, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, alrighty? Let's talk about the armor of God. One of the pieces of the armor of God is the helmet of salvation. Everybody know that? The helmet of salvation? There's another place in the Bible where it says, put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. Put on the helmet of the hope of salvation, alright? So that's telling us, I take a promise of God. I take, by the way, where do you find them? That's where you're going to find them. All right. By the way, Google's crazy too. You just Google, where's a promise? I'm telling you, it's just fun. But this is better. This is better. So I take a promise of God and I think about it. I just think on this promise. All right. So whatever your bad day is, what does God say to get you through it? Go find that promise. All right. Go find that promise. I think on it and then I make sure I don't give up while I'm thinking. I make sure I don't quit. I make sure I go to war attitude. Don't quit. So what do? On my bad day, I focus my mind on the promise of God for the situation that I am. And when I keep my mind focused on what God says, it gives me hope that I'm going to go through it. But if you're not doing that, you got no hope. You got to quit. You got to just crawl in the corner. So on your bad day, you go to war and you find the promises of God. Alrighty, let's read the rest of that. Verse 13, we're going to jump around. Verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, your worst bad day ever, right? So when the bad day comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, stand. Verse 14, stand firm then. Okay, how many of you know some people that are really tenacious, like they don't quit? I know a couple of those, okay? Maybe it's you. I'm not saying, okay? So I grew up in North Jersey. You all know that. I grew up on this street as big as Weldon Avenue behind us, but they were all single-family homes. And on this, both sides of the street, little quarter-acre lots, and there were five families with six kids. Do the math. I was counting this the other day. There were four families with four kids. There were five other families with three kids, and you were weird if you only had two kids. Okay, so that's a lot of kids. Anybody add that up? I tell you what, I have fantasies about growing up on that street. It was just crazy, and we'd play a flashlight tag at night, and there's two dozen kids out there just having, you know, just crazy. Okay, so it's a great place to grow up. Tell you that. But there was, my brother hung out, Johnny, my brother, hung out with Ronnie and Donnie and Tommy. And, you know, that was the age. It was the 50s. Everybody's name was like that. But Ronnie was a big guy. He's a big, stocky guy. And Donnie, they're all friends, was about a foot shorter. And he's this thin, wiry, short guy. And he could run. Donnie could run. So, well, one day, Ronnie and Donnie got into this argument. Next thing you know, they're slugging it out. The big guy is sitting on top of the little guy, Donnie, and they're slugging it out. But you got to know this about Donnie. He has a no-quit war mentality. He's just going, and Ronnie's just clubbing him. And I'm thinking, the only way that Donnie's going to quit is Ronnie's going to have to kill him, because Donnie never quit. Donnie never quit, all right? Guys, we have to have a Donnie mentality when we go through our hard times, when we go through bad days. And I'd love to tell you, but I'd be a liar. You're never going to have one. So while you're going through some hard times, bad times, storms, whatever, your worst bad days ever, we have to have this attitude. Hey, you can beat me half to death, but I am not quitting. You can club me and throw this on, but I am not quitting. That's the attitude that you need to have to get through your bad days, all right? So first what we're going to do is we're going to find out what God says about my situation, and I'm going to hold fast to that. I'm going to apply my faith to that. I'm going to speak that, and then I'm going to go, I'm not quitting. I am not quitting, all right? And I will tell you this, there are so many people that they're doing that. They've got a tough day, and they've dug into the Word of God. They found out what God says, and they're holding these scriptures. They're saying these scriptures. They're believing the scriptures, and then they quit. I'm telling you, they quit right before the victory. Okay, I don't want to be that. You just need to be West York. What's their mascot? The Bulldog. They're supposed to be tenacious. We need to be tenacious and go to war and not quit. All right, so four things to do when you want to get through your bad days. One, look in the mirror. Go, just be honest. Like, this is how I feel. This is what's happened. This is what's been caused. Number two, you got to go to God. God's like the place we go. And then we have to go to people, because you need people. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. If one falls in the hole, you need another one to yank them up. All right. You need people in your life. I am always tickled when I get to about week four of a grow group at my house. And the last year I've been doing girls grow groups. Okay. And I watch these girls just become friends. They pray for one another. They call one another. Don't call me. They call one another. It's just great because they believe to go to people. All right. And the last one, we have to go to war. So how about we pray? I'm going to wrap up early because we have communion fellowship. All right. I really believe that God is speaking to our hearts about some adjustments. Listen, I was really honest with you. That go to people part, I have changed. I continually remind myself to go to people. All right. So if God has just been speaking to your hearts about things that you need to adjust, go, yes, Lord, all right? And I believe that God showed you, okay, yes, it's okay to thirst. Jesus thirsted because of the bad day that it caused, all right? I believe that God is showing us that it's okay to look in the mirror and admit and to examine ourselves and say, this is how I feel in the middle of this, all right? It's okay to do that. I believe that the Holy Spirit's just talking about that we need to have some go-tos. Okay, I like ice cream. No, I don't. I really like chocolate cake. Okay, go-to chocolate cake is not really good all the time, all right? I need to have some better go-tos, right? Guys, you need to have go-tos. Go-tos, all righty? So, and some of you, if you have not looked in the mirror like, I'm not looking, I don't want to see, just, you know, go, God, okay, I'm going to look in the mirror and I'm just going to admit where I'm at. And then, the other part is just go to God. No, it's not a just. I always hate when people say just. Go to God, period. Go to God. He's big. He's awesome. He's mighty. He's never leave you, never forsake you. He does crazy, wonderful things. So why would we not go to him? Why do we go, oh, by the way, let's finish in prayer. I was like, duh, let's start that way, okay? So we're going to go to God in prayer. And I think you all have to be like Donnie. Donnie just never quit. The little guy's just swinging and punching. And you're like, you're going to get the snot beat out of you. Okay, but be a Donnie. Be this attitude that I am going to war. Matter of fact, guys, it is so easy to go to war when you know the one who's won the war. I forget that sometimes. But it is easy to have that I will stand because I know the one who's already defeated. He's already dished out all those great, precious promises. He's opened the door to the heavens for me to sit down with God Almighty. And God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. That took me 5 years to get wrapped around my head. That one just, what, okay? And I got it. So how would I not? It's so easy to have a war attitude when you know the one who's given everything and done everything. Amen? So let's just pray. Just get really quiet. Just ask the Holy Spirit, you know, Holy Spirit, just speak to me this and get really quiet and listen to him. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you that you just open our eyes, reveal. I thank you that you just push us in our right direction today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, one more thing. Keeping your eyes closed, heads bowed, an attitude of prayer. If you came here today and you don't know about eternity, you don't know that you have an eternity and where your eternity will be. And that simply means, do you have a relationship with Jesus? And when I say that, I'm not asking you to join the church. You're all welcome, okay? I'm not asking you if you were water baptized or sprinkled. I'm not asking you if you grew up in a Christian home. I'm not asking you how many times you go to church. I'm asking you if you've ever called on the name of Jesus and said, Lord God, I accept you as my Savior. I let you come into my life. I welcome you. What do you mean, let go? I welcome you to come into my life. If you've never said that, can I pray with you? Let me tell you, today is the day of salvation. Today, Jesus said, I am the truth and the way and the light, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. And I was raised in a denomination, guys, where we did a lot of things thinking I'd get to this relationship. I had to do a lot of things to get to the relationship. I had to be this, don't do this. And some 40 years ago, someone said, Dee, those that call on the name of the Lord would be saved. You need a Savior. Would you accept Jesus as your Savior? And I was a broken person. I'd suffered a great loss, and I was ready. So if you're here today, just raise your hand and we'll all pray with you. And where raising your hand says, yes, I've not prayed this. I've not asked Jesus to come into my life. I've not surrendered my life. But today, Pastor D, would you pray with me? Is there anybody here? Just slip your hand up. Okay. And we'll all pray with you. Okay. All righty. Well, I didn't see any hands go up, but I'll tell you what. people go, well, how do I lead somebody to Jesus? Ready? You say, Father God. And they repeat, Father God, I come to you. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died for me. And I believe he rose from the dead that I might have life. And then I tell them, I said, now switch talking from God to talk to Jesus and say, Jesus, I receive you. I accept you into my life. I'm now a child of God. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. I love you guys so much. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We now have communion fellowship. It is open to everybody. This place will just kind of buzz like a bee, and I need some people, if you're staying, to help separate the chairs. I'll need some people at the front door, because until we get this, Keith, did you get hold of that guy about the wall?